You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday morning. Welcome. Mike McNamara for Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. A lot of stuff in the news. So it seems like a good day to unplug from that. Yeah, I need a mental health day. That's what they call it now. I need a mental health day. So what we're going to do is actually, yeah, I could always use a mental health day. But Montana Man has been bitching at me to get those girls who played on the Olympic hockey team on. Hey man, what are you waiting for? Get those girls back on. I'm like, you know, they might be a little bit busy, like becoming gold medalists. Scoring the game-tying and game-winning goal. I mean, people tend to have demands on their times. I don't care, man. You have them on. You're friends with them. And he's got a point there. I was allowing the media tsunami, though, to subside a bit before I got him on. So you'll hear from Jocelyn Lammer Davidson today. So Jocelyn scored the game-winning goal in the shootout against the Canadians, if you recall that, those of you who watched. And she puts a move on the Canadian Olympic team's goalie that was epic. Caused a little bit of a sensation on Twitter. And as the hockey world erupted with a collective, what was that? So we're talking to Jocelyn about that. And then I have some friends who have kids involved in athletics that, you know, that are, you know, that are competitive athletics. So, excuse me. So the way I met the girl is, you know, their dad's a friend of mine. And he was recruiting hockey players from the Western United States. He got my oldest son John was a defenseman, so he called me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in him playing on a team and that goes up into Canada and plays and blah 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 blah." So I met Pierre Lamoureux. Like that's how I met Pierre. We ultimately moved to Grand Forks because it was like living on base. It was a cool little community, and our kids wind up going to school together and playing hockey together, and this is in 1998. So Pierre's one of my good friends. To this day, there isn't a Memorial Day that goes by or a Veterans Day that doesn't go by where he does not reach out to me. Right. And I don't have too, I don't have too many either. I will say this. I don't have too many friends or family members that don't miss like Pierre doesn't miss. So anyway, you're going to hear from Pierre about raising athletes like that. How do you do it? And what are the pitfalls along the way? And ultimately, the role of athletics in all of his kids' life. He has 1, 2, 3, 4. He has 6 kids, 4 boys. They all chose to play hockey. Pierre's a hockey player. He's a goaltender. You'll hear a little bit about his career. And so he played high Division I college hockey in the United States at the University of North Dakota. Hails from the Edmonton area of the Alberta province of Canada, and married an American girl, Linda, and has become an American citizen and raised his kids here in the United States. But what is the role that sports play in the development of young people? And does that change when your child becomes an elite-level athlete, a world-class athlete, and gets involved in those kind of things? So I think you'll find his perspective interesting in terms of raising kids and having exceptional daughters. Or they could be sons, but his happen to be daughters. And, you know, when he noticed that they were different. You know, they were good. They were always good. I mean, and I don't mean they weren't good girl players. They were good boy players. That's how good they were. So, my younger son Patrick played with Monique and Jocelyn from the time they were 8. And, you know, and then, you know, what you heard when they were young was, oh, wait till they get to checking. Then it'll all get even. Well, let me tell you, checking didn't slow them down. In fact, they laid the wood to guys. Yeah, and people would go crazy. So you'll hear from Jocelyn today as we do take a little bit of a mental health break. So there's big stuff going on in the world. We'll talk about that. So we'll do the news headlines. I'm really kind of fascinated by what legislators got told yesterday in a closed-door briefing, classified briefing with the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. As I said, those guys are no stranger to anything. And I think, you know, one of the sayings that we used to have in the 1st Marine Division was, first, do no harm. And I think that if you, along those lines, you know, if you look at the operation that the United States undertook last Friday night, one of the things I think they would have at the top of their mind is, first, do no harm to our cause, to where we see the United States moving strategically. Now, I don't know exactly where that is, because we don't have, it seems like, a blueprint for the way ahead in Syria. So given that landscape, given where the Russians are, given where the Iranians are, what is the next best step for the United States? Not giving them any IO information operations, opportunities in terms of collateral damage, civilians killed and all that, that they would parade in front of the world and say, see, this is what the Americans do. So staying away from being extremely careful to stay away from that and dumping the charcoal in the lap of the Russians and also, oh, by the way, showing them as inept to the world. And in along the lines with General Jack King, what he said, and you heard that. I'll play it here again in a second for those of you who haven't heard it. But if you haven't heard General King, you know, Russia's a second-rate power. Why would we bow down to them in anything? Why? Because Putin likes to bluff? Well, when you have the stronger hand, and you know it, at some point that should That should be apparent to everybody. So anyway, so I'd be really curious to have sat in that briefing with those guys, because honestly, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff might be one of the smartest guys, might be the smartest guy I ever met in the military. And I met some smart. I was really lucky. I met really, really smart guys, and got to sit in meetings with them and know them personally and call them my friends today. I mean, and you've heard a bunch of them on this program. Commandant of the Marine Corps is a smart guy. General John Allen's one of the smartest guys I've ever met. He's running Brookings right now. All right. John Kelly is shrewd, smart, smart, smart. Secretary Mattis, smart, smart, smart. Dunford might be the smartest of all of them, although you wouldn't know it by the way he conducts himself and whatnot. He's very self-deprecating. The way he presents his brilliance is very restrained. And so you might, until you're around him for a little while and you see it, you're like, he's the smartest guy in here. So for those reasons, I would love to have been in the classified briefing as they laid out, here's why this makes sense. And for people saying that, look, it was twice as many missiles as a year ago, blah, blah, blah. Here's what we destroyed. Here's how we destroyed it. Here's what the Russians were doing. Now, the lack of a Russian response, you know, that should pose a question. Were they simply collecting on us for the next time? Or are they that inept? And what we did that different? So yes, I would love to have been in that meeting. So, the Secretary of State, he was a CIA guy, going to be the Secretary of State, in North Korea, talking to Kim Jong-un, and President, there was conflicting reports whether the President said he's spoken to him. The White House later, I think, walked it back and said, no, what he meant to say was, he misunderstood the question, have we spoken to him? So, anyway. So you got that going on. You have the head guy from Japan, Mr. Abe. He's here in the United States trying to make sure that the capricious president of the United States, or at least seemingly outward capricious president of the United States, makes sure that he's in lockstep with Donald Trump as the bill from China comes due. Now, we've had Grant Newsham on, you know, enough. So the question is, we have all this goodwill in the air, right? What price will the Chinese exact for this? At what point does the curveball get thrown? Oh, and we want this. And so the Japanese are here making sure that in that this, that gets offered by somebody, that, you know, the Chinese will agree to support this. In addition, for the United States supporting their claim to the rights of those islands in the East China Sea, and the United States staying out of that. Does the United States really care about those islands? Should they stop this? The Japanese say yes, they should. The United States. So, I don't know that that's the case. I do know that if the Chinese are instrumental in supporting this, and this isn't a North Korean venture by themselves, and things aren't that great between North Korea and China. I mean, there's a fair amount of suspicion and all of that, but those are the factors in the deal. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on, as the world swirls on an hourly basis these days. So we'll check the news headlines, and we'll go through all that, and then we're going to hear on a little bit of a mental health day, we're going to hear from the girl who scored the game-winning goal. Yeah, her Oops, I Did It Again, Britney Spears entitled move. Jocelyn Lammer. So we'll hear from her, and then we'll hear from her dad today. And for everybody who's a parent or a grandparent who has kids or grandkids that are playing sports, what role do sports play in the lives of young people. And there's a really cool moment, because I recorded the interview. Pierre's a working stiff, so I recorded it last night. But there's a really cool moment at the end of the interview when he talks about his daughters and what he's most proud of. And so, and I think that should be, when you hear that, hopefully it'll click in your head about the role that athletics plays in the lives of our kids, in their development as people. And so it's very interesting conversation with Pierre about parenting and being honest with your kids relative to their abilities, listening to them and who has to be the driver in all of it. So very cool. So you'll hear that. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. I'll post a link to the video that appeared on the Marine Corps Twitter account yesterday, and it involves it is the funeral, the laying to rest of Wesley Fox, Medal of Honor winner. You heard Barney Barnum come on, and you'll probably hear that here in the not too distant future, but his thoughts on his fellow Medal of Honor recipient, Barney Barnum, fired artillery for Wes Fox the night that Wes Fox company was surrounded, and ultimately led to him being a Medal of Honor recipient. But Wesley Fox, colonel type, United States Marine Corps, laid to rest yesterday at Arlington Cemetery with the commandant presiding over the funeral. So fair winds and following seas to Colonel Fox. God bless him, and may God hold his heart in the palm of his hand and keep that hand very, very close to his own heart. So I'll post that. If you've never seen a funeral for a Medal of Honor recipient, it's worth viewing. And when the Marine Corps rolls out its pageantry, it's always impressive. So nobody does it like we do, and you'll see Colonel Fox's funeral if you care to. So I'll post that. But this is dedicated to him, in his memory, for a life well lived and an example to all of us of what it is to be a good human being, a man dedicated to his corps, his country, and his family.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Check the weather around the Marine Corps. Mostly cloudy and 47 in Quantico. Two weather advisories there. Let me guess, small craft and... gale warning... small craft advisory, and a local pollen alert. 68 degrees with partly sunny skies at Camp Lejeune. 68 in Granbury, Texas, with mostly sunny skies. Big Timber, Montana's got sun and 40. 29 Palms warmed up all the way to 51 and sunny, so still cool out there. Pendleton, cooler yet. Sunny and 41. It's cold on the West Coast. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 66, so a little bit cooler there. Marshak's cooled off as well. The world has cooled off the last 72 hours. Clear, dark, and 72. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is 53 degrees under partly sunny skies. Looking for a high of 69 today. Rain and 63 in the forecast for tomorrow, and then on Friday, sun and 71. Small craft advisory off the West Coast, too. So if you're headed out to sea or out in the bay or whatever, you got a boat and you're on the East or West Coast, be careful. There's advisories out there. The, I just saw a funny headline. The ranking senator... on the Foreign Relations Committee will oppose, the ranking Democratic senator will oppose Mike Pompeo's nomination to become the Secretary of State. That guy just beat a corruption charge. Okay, now, right, you're innocent until proven guilty, but where there's fire, there's probably some smoke, okay? Yeah, give that one some thought. Where there's fire, there's probably some smoke. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee.
Okay, some recommended reading. Go to the website. You don't have to do it this second. Put this on your list of things to do. Go to the website. And go to the podcast page. It says podcast and op-eds. There's a segment entitled, sitting right in the middle of the page right now, at the top of the page, The Wisdom of Ryan Crocker and His Thoughts on the American Way Ahead in Syria. I wrote that headline, by the way. Yeah. If you click on that, it'll take you to the page. And in the second paragraph, you'll read the sentence. The article he co-authored with Michael O'Hanlon and Pavel Bayev, entitled A Modest But Enduring Syria Strategy for President Trump, is here. The word here is in blue because it's a hyperlink. That's how that works. If you click on that, it'll take you to the Brookings website. And it's a short little article, not too long. You can digest it in a couple of minutes. And I would tell you, it'll help you with your Syrian education. So we're doing Syria education now. Okay. To that end, if you type Syria map, you'll see a whole bunch of things pop up. Interactive maps. Yeah. That will show you, for instance, who's who in the zoo, man. So, and you'll find some where there's breaking news that, they'll have little like icons on them. And then they'll have news stories, and they're all over Syria, and they're overlaid on a map that shows, who, like I said, who's who in the zoo. So in the zoo itself, in the map, it's the what I'm looking at is a thing called Syrian Civil War map. So you see what the government controls, you see what the rebels control, you see what the Syrian Defense Force controls, which is essentially Kurdish forces. Mm-hmm. So you see what they control, which is primarily the northeastern, the north, and it extends to the east and the northeast towards Iraq. They control all of that with the help of and the assistance of the United States. You see where the Turks kind of moved in to the northern part of Syria. So I like maps. I don't know about you, but I like maps. And it helps me understand what's going on. So anywho, I think it'll help you make sense of, you know, what is going on over there and who's doing what. So anyway, I offer you those couple pieces of education. Now, before we get going, this has become a favorite little clip here on All Marine Radio. Mac, somebody told me about a clip you played from General Jack Keane. What is that? I'll play that here in a second. A couple of passings, you know, this week. Marine Corps Wesley Fox. I would tell you, I just retweeted that. I'll put it out on Facebook. I'll put it up on the website. But, yeah, Colonel Fox, former CO of Officer Candidate School, passed away last winter. And as is customary for, I think, during the winter in a lot of parts of the country, or when somebody's sufficiently famous, you delay the funeral itself. You have a memorial service, and you essentially lay them to rest, and you deal with all that. And then you inter them when the ground thaws and when people can get there and things like that. So that's what was done with Colonel Fox. He was laid to rest at Arlington yesterday. And so his passing and the passing of Barbara Bush. Wow. You know, Barbara Bush was... She was the spinal cord of that family. It's like there's a lot of people you would mess with in that family, but you wouldn't mess with Barbara Bush. And she seemed to have a sense of humor, but she's a tough woman. And when you saw her be interviewed, you saw all of that. And I'll tell you just the only I don't have any personal interactions with the Bush family. But I did interact with when I was at Quantico in the late in 89, 90, 91, and the spring of 92. When you're doing your thing there, you're being flown around by the pilots from HMX-1. Well, those guys are the same pilots often that fly the president around. Now they have two sides of their business, the white side and the green side. The green side is is they fly the students at the basic school around, and they do all the other stuff that HMX-1 does out of the air station in Quantico. The white side, you're part of the PRP program, you fly the president, you're a VIP driver, blah, 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 blah. So on occasion, those guys would be looking for extra hours and would, you know, when you fly the president, that's pretty scripted flying. Okay. It's not like you're banking and, you know, you're hooking and jabbing and things like that. So, you know, where do they go to, you know, expend some of their aviation energy? Well, they would come to the green side and they would fly for us. So anyway, I remember them coming, and I don't know, I think it was at IOC, and we were doing, there's a day when we just do helicopter. We used to do helicopter jumping. And we'd just go in and out of LZs, and lieutenants would get on the phone and they'd talk the bird in. And, you know, just giving them that practical app, we'd pile on the aircraft, boom, we'd drop down another LZ, next lieutenant up. He would talk the bird in, and, you know, we'd do that a dozen times. We'd have two or three helicopters working for us. So the helicopters showed up, they shut down, and we're just sitting there talking. So we brief them, here's how many lieutenants we got, here's how long we think we're going to need you for. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we get that done, and we're waiting on the lieutenants for some reason. And late from the armory or whatever. And we're talking, and it was after the election that Bill Clinton had beat George Bush, the elder. And we were talking, and they're like, this country has no idea what it just did. And we're like, what do you mean? Well, like, we've flown the Clintons, and we've flown the Bushes around. And it's not even close. We're like, well, what do you mean? They're like, the Bushes are like awesome people. You know, he's a great guy, and she is awesome. And we're like, well, what's it like to be around them? Like, well, when we fly him up to Kennebunkport, remember the president had his home in Maine. And so he said, you know, they've constructed a barracks for us. So, you know, we'll land, you know, we shut the aircraft down, you know, we make sure everything's good. And then, you know, essentially, you know, we'll spend the weekend reading, PTing. They tend to just hang out there, so it's not like we go any other place. And when they have meals, the pilot who was telling the story said, you know, the first time it happened, you know, we're just laying in our, you know, our little room up there that might accommodate a dozen people. And there was only six of us there. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom on the door. And the door comes open. And Barbara Bush yells, everybody decent? Yes, ma'am. And everybody stands up and pops to the position of attention. She goes, oh, just relax with that. She said, the president expects you for dinner in 45 minutes. And they're like, no, ma'am, we're okay. And she just looked at them all. She said, what don't you understand about the president expects you for dinner? And they just looked, and we all looked and said, yes, ma'am. And she smiled, and she said, very good. She said, I love you, Marines. And then she, you know, she walked away, and he said, they did that as a matter of course with us. They included us in their family stuff. Unless they were doing something special, then we didn't get included. He said, which, you know, didn't bother us in the least. After all, they are their own family. And he said, but that's the kind of people they are. They're great people, and she is what drives that family. So my only ever personal, personal vignette about Barbara Bush, but a woman who lived a great life. And, what a life. So, fair winds and following seas. To Barbara Bush. So, we'll check some news headlines now. I am intrigued. I'm extremely intrigued by the closed door briefing yesterday. Okay. What is the rationale that smart guys would use for what General Keane is going to describe here as weak, a weak response? Why?
General, thank you so much for joining us. We heard Heather Nowat, and we also heard from Holly McKay there on the ground to sort of get a reaction of what the mood is there. But first,
Okay, Heather Nauert, she's a State Department, and Holly McKay was in Syria. So they had done these responses to the Syrian, and now comes Jack Keane. This is hilarious. This is awesome, though.
First and foremost, I wanted to get your reaction to Heather Nauert, and what do you feel after hearing that?
Well, first of all, let's credit the administration for, one, taking action. We had a previous administration that failed to, in view of such a horrific thing as the use of chemical weapons. Second, credit the administration for bringing our allies into the strike and representing the entire international community, because this really is an attack on civilization and the international community.
It's like there's a butt coming.
Yeah, there's a big butt coming. But I think that the response is very weak, in my judgment, particularly in view of the fact that this is a follow-up attack by Assad to a strike that we had already delivered a year ago. It should have been decisive. It should have been consequential. As a result of this strike, we still lead them with multiple chemical storage sites and production capabilities. We didn't put a single glove on an airplane or a delivery system or an airfield. And what is happening? Assad made this calculation. He's trying to secure Damascus. He's been fighting for it for months. The Russians have been bombing every single day. They got down to this one place in Ghouta where the rebels were holding out. Russians bombed all the hospitals, bombed them day in, day out, almost 24-hour bombing. They were still holding out. Assad calculates, okay, I'm going to use chemical weapons. He used the chemical weapons. 6 hours later, the rebels surrendered, and they're gone, and Russian police are there. His calculation was, I'm going to use the weapon. I know the United States is going to respond. I suspect there's going to be another modest response, and I'm willing to pay that price.
Okay, devil's advocate will say, you know, we broadcasted our capability, meaning we sort of tested the waters. They see what we're capable of, and we can do more. The United States is willing to do more. It doesn't seem as if it's one and done, meaning even the ambassador, Nikki Haley, will say, we're locked and loaded.
Well, that's inviting, incentivizing another chemical attack. Isn't the purpose of this is to stop these guys from using these weapons? Look, the thing that we're not talking about here is why didn't we take out all of his military capability that he has? Because we're intimidated by a second-rate power who's trying to pretend to be a superpower called the Russians, and they have put their stooges at those military bases, and we're afraid to do harm to them. That's what's not being discussed. That's the so-called collateral damage. And they threaten escalation. This second-rate power, we have a considerable overmatch of them in the Middle East, or any place else for that matter, is threatening escalation, like they did with Obama in Ukraine. And he bought into it. We should not buy into it. We've got people who are advising the president who are far too risk-averse, to be quite frank about it.
When we heard, and we heard a reaction, a statement from Russian President Vladimir Putin, it was almost immediate, which is also a little bit uncharacteristic to have a reaction so quickly. But he didn't use the words act of war. He said that they condemned the act of aggression, but not the act of war. Should we read into that?
Well, what Putin has scored a major victory here, he and the Iranians. They have propped up the Assad regime indefinitely. This thing that Heather Nauert is talking about in Geneva, that's fantasy. There's not going to be any negotiated peace. They own Syria. And they've got a victory here. And the thought that Putin would start shooting at us over our reaction to a chemical attack in Syria, which would get the United States more involved in Syria, that's ridiculous. He's not going to shoot at us. He doesn't want us involved. We're already advertising that we're leaving. And they're cheering. And we're firing a few shots as we go out the door. That's what's happening here.
All right, General Keane, thank you for coming on and reacting. We appreciate it very much.
Okay.
What? You can imagine her sitting there with her hair blown back because he was pissed. So, again, they're not stupid guys. So why are smart guys taking that course of action? Okay. Are we going to see the next, again, knowing what's coming? And what's coming is a war between Iran and Syria. Okay, so just as much as Japan is in our ear, yesterday and today, down in Florida, telling the president, hey, when this deal comes, it's almost like do you remember when in Godfather 2, when Michael Corleone is taking over the family and he's spending time with his dad, and his dad tells him, when they come to you, the guy who brings you the deal. He's a traitor. Michael says, yeah, Pop. Pop, you're worried about this. And so you have this, these two leaders sitting down and say, hey, when this deal comes to you, they're going to do this. You can't leave us hanging here. All these different issues have to be nested in this agreement, or at least they have to be capable of being addressed under this, and you can't leave them out. You see that happening with Japan, right? And again, the same thing, you know, wouldn't it be incredibly interesting to listen to President Trump's phone calls with Benjamin Netanyahu, right? There's been no greater supporter of Israel than Donald Trump. I mean, good God, man. So when we coordinate our response with Israel, and make no mistake, we use Israeli intelligence to validate our own intelligence. We spoke with them, and you haven't heard a peep out of Israel. Okay? You haven't heard a peep out of them. Okay? I won't say their silence is deafening, but their silence is certainly noteworthy. So, can you imagine the conversation that Netanyahu is having with Donald Trump? Mr. President, here's what's coming in Syria. Here's what's coming. And you get out the map and the intel. And when you know the raw intel, right? Here's what they're doing here. Here's what they're doing here. Now, none of us would ever reach the media except by mistake. Or somebody leaking very, very high-level intelligence. They're doing this here. They're doing this here. This leads to this. This leads to this. This leads to this. We cannot allow them to do this. And when they begin to toe that line of looking like they're going to do that, we have to strike. I have to strike them. And it won't matter what Mr. Putin says. It won't matter. And I'm going to need your support then. Yeah, could you imagine? I mean, it'd be, you know, Syria. So, again, what doesn't make any sense to me is, given our relationship with Israel, that the United States, with only 2,000 troops in Syria, or at least that's what we're stating, says we have to bring them home. We have to bring them home. So, anyway, all right, we need to check some news headlines. Let me check stand by. Kane wants more safer Congress in the War Powers Act. Yeah, again, I listened to an interview with Mitch McConnell yesterday. I don't know who interviewed him, but he says that thing will never see the light of day. He said, look, the president has all the authority he needs to conduct these strikes. All right. And he said, so, look, this is political grandstanding by people that don't have anything to do, because they won't enact any legislation. They won't do what they're paid to do. So the Senate won't confirm anybody, or they'll slow that to a trickle, because that's what they do now. They obstruct the government, and they won't pass any other legislation. So what is left? What is left is committee meetings and other bullshit. So again, Mitch McConnell said that will never see the light of day. He regulates what comes to the floor of the Senate. HMX1, here's another email. One CAX where I took the ACE headquarters from El Toro, one of the ops guys was a major who had just finished an HMX1 tour and had flown for both 41 and Clinton. He said the same thing. The Clinton entourage had zero respect for the Marines and those immaculate helicopters. Recall the incident when they got busted for using HMX-1 for commuting to the golf course. He was flying that help. He was flying that helo. Said the VIPs would even take off their muddy golf spikes. Wouldn't take off their muddy golf spikes before walking on the carpet inside the aircraft. He wouldn't say much about inside the White House stuff, but he said a pretty good little nugget about Hillary that wouldn't shock you. It's interesting. The stories that, you know, that we heard about the difference and how the Marines that worked around the White House, who were pretty discreet guys, they just shook their head. And one of them, Eighth and I guy, I want to say captain, he's coming out of the West Portico. And he's coming out, and George Stephanopoulos sawed off what he was a press secretary. So he's walking out the door, and Stephanopoulos is walking in, and the captain doesn't yield to Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos puts his hand on his chest and says, "Do you know who I am?" And the captain took his hand by the wrist, and he took it off his chest, and he looked at me and said, "Don't ever do that again." And Stephanopoulos looked at me, "Do you know who I am?" And so the captain walked over to the phone. He called 8th and I. He said, "I need somebody to come pick me up right now." And I don't know that he ever walked. And then there's the famous incident where Hillary Clinton, you know, it was customary for Marines for some reason to escort, you know, children to school, and she wouldn't have it. And so I don't know. Again, the HMX one guys just said, if you could see what we've seen, the country has no idea what it's done relative to, you know, this election. And so those were no shitter stories around the Marine Corps at the time from people that flew them and worked with them and what. But again, the story that to me the noteworthy story was the way the Bush family included, you know, those pilots. They didn't have to do that. Those guys could have ordered pizza or gone out to dinner or whatever. The President of the United States invites you down to, you know, his training table with his family. And but they said Barbara Bush, though. Barbara Bush was no bullshit, man. What don't you understand about the President of the United States telling you he expects you for dinner? We understand that, ma'am. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Another email. Mike Pompeo in North Korea. How about that little bomb that got dropped yesterday? What's stunning is in the space of a year, look where this issue has come. From trading ICBMs to now some kind of progress on one, the ending of the Korean War. Hello, are you kidding me, Mac? Two, some kind of arms agreement relative to the Korean Peninsula. This is amazing shit. For this alone, Trump should get reelected. I'm not his biggest fan because he is a bit of a jackass. However, this is something that nobody's been able to do. I'm sure he won't get the credit he probably deserves, but peace through strength. I keep saying that to people now that you say it every day. There is no other way. Memo to Germany, get off your dead German asses. Pick up a rifle. Right? You German lame-ass politicians, fund your military. Right? So we can put Putin in the box that he should be in. Yeah. So, yeah, peace through strength. There is no other way. All right. Looking for stories relative to the Marines, Marine Corps Times. Not seeing too many. Email. Mac, I heard you say it, and it's absolutely positively true. Wesley Fox is straight out of Central Casting. You look at him, you look at his pictures as a Marine, they almost look staged. Like, who staged that picture? That is a poster of a Marine if I've ever seen one. No, it's I didn't make that up. I heard that, but if you look at Wesley Fox, yeah, holy shit, man. He is the quintessential poster Marine. There's a picture of him that I use on some of our stories from Vietnam. I think he's on a radio. Got a steel pot on. Yeah, that's straight up. All right. That's straight up Marine poster child right there. All right, couple of stories on that I would care to discuss. Turkey is very interesting. Once you begin to look at Syria, you can't help but look at Turkey, right? Turkey and the many faces of Turkey in this. Well, we want a side. We're against ISIS, but we're going to support them here. Right, we're against the Kurds, but we'll look the other way with this. Turkey, how do we deal with Turkey, and what will Turkey be? Turkey hasn't even decided that yet. So there's a story written by Tara Kopp. Why U.S. forces remain near Manbij, I think that's how you say it, while ISIS has moved elsewhere in Syria. All right, now, so if you get your map of Syria out, you'll find Manbij. All right, so if you go to the Kurdish-held part of northern Syria, you will find a city at the site of major road intersection. That should shock nobody. It is northeast of Raqqa. So if you find Raqqa, Raqqa is in maybe north central Syria. So if you go from Raqqa, if you go northwest from that, you will find along a highway, you will find the city of Manbij, Manbij. Okay. It is relatively near the Turkish border, although not very near it. Since Turkey's incursion into Syria, it is relatively close to Turkish forces. Okay. Creating a buffer zone. All right. With that said, why are U.S. forces still there? The final pockets of the Islamic State fighters in Syria are hundreds of miles from the northern Syrian town of Manbij, but U.S. forces remain there to prevent ISIS fighters from returning, the Pentagon said on Tuesday. The U.S. will say publicly it has about 2,000 troops in Syria. An untold number of them are concentrated around Manbij. The city is located in the north near the Turkey-Syria border and has become a hotspot for a potential skirmish between Turkish forces and Kurdish partnered forces, and that partnership is with the United States. That partnership has also worked to drive ISIS from the country. While most ISIS fighters are located further south and along the Syria-Iraq border, Manbij is still vulnerable to ISIS resurgence, according to U.S. Central Command. On March 30th, Master Sergeant John Dunbar. That's a guy in Dances with Wolves, right? Jonathan Dunbar. Anyway, age 36 and a British service member were killed by an IED near Manbij. Everybody remembers that, right? The patrol was tracking an ISIS high-value target at the time. That's why that IED would be in that spot, as protection. The military is still investigating the cause of those deaths. So anyway, keep your eye on northern Syria. At some point, Turkey and the Kurds are going to have a function. If there's no, and again, what is that? That's another thing that ought to be settled politically. Do the Kurds deserve no land of their own? You know, and of course, Turkey and obviously, you know, looks at the Kurds as the PKK and the YPP Yeah. Yeah, trust me. You got to get out your scorecard and you got to write it down. Or else it doesn't make any sense. So I would offer that to you. Also, the other interesting story is the VA secretary nominee opposed to privatizing the VA, according to a senator. Top Democrat John Tester from Montana met with White House physician Ronnie Jackson on Tuesday in advance of his expected confirmation hearing next week. Tester says he hasn't made up his mind whether he'll support the nominee, but he had two productive discussions about the challenges the VA faces. This whole issue of privatization, it lacks very clear definition, because I'm interested in that too. So what does privatization mean? Isn't choice privatization? Isn't the choice program for veterans partially privatizing veteran care? You don't got to pack up and go to the VA hospital anymore because you can get care in your community. That care comes from a private contractor known as your local physician. Isn't that? So again, whenever somebody talks about privatization, the first thing you have to ask them is, what specifically are you talking about? Because the VA continues to outsource medical care for veterans. So when you say privatization, what are you talking about? Because most people are talking about a completely different thing. So, again, and my basic question, why do veterans need a separate health entity to provide stuff that a general practitioner can provide? Why do they need a completely separate medical system? And it's interesting, some of the answers are, well, if we create too good of a system, then too many people are going to use it, and that's going to send the cost through the roof. And you hear that and you think, did I just hear that right? Yeah, what we want is a system that's good, but it can't be too good, because if it was too good, you'd have veterans using it too much. Now, well, if you have an okay system, but not a great system, you know, people that can afford other insurance plans, they'll use those, which we're fine with. And you read that and you're like, what? So, yeah, privatization. It requires footnotes. All right, top five stories in Early Bird on our way to hearing Jocelyn Lamoureux. U.S. officials say Pompeo has met with North Korea's Kim. What the hell is that like? Things I'd like to be in the room for. Right? Netanyahu's discussion with Trump. Abe's discussion with Trump. Pompeo's discussion with Kim. The highly unusual secret visit comes as the enemy nations prepare for a meeting between President Donald Trump and Kim within the next couple of months. The officials spoke about Pompeo's trip on a condition of anonymity, because they were not authorized to speak about it. The Washington Post, which first reported Pompeo's meeting with Kim, said it took place over the Easter weekend, just over 2 weeks ago, shortly after the CIA chief was nominated to become Secretary of State. So, yeah. What do you think the first thing you say? Hey. This place is a shithole, man. You could use our help. What do you mean? It's beautiful. It's really not. Can we go to South Korea where we could get some good food and we'll just hang out and shoot the shit? No. Well, yeah, I really want to. I like South Korea, man. Do you know what it's like being educated in Switzerland and coming to living in this shithole? Oh, my God, there's nothing to do. I'm a young guy, man. I need to get out. I need to get with it. Yeah, Mr. Kim. Number two, former First Lady Barbara Bush dies at the age of 92. Number three, Mattis wanted congressional approval before striking in Syria. He was overruled. This is in the New York Times. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis urged President Trump to get congressional approval before the United States launched strikes in Syria last week, but was overruled by Trump, who wanted a rapid and dramatic response, military and administrative officials said. Mr. Trump, the official said, wanted to be seen as backing up a series of bellicose tweets with action, but was warned that an overly aggressive response might risk igniting a wider war with Russia. Friday night's limited strikes on three targets, which lasted under 2 minutes, were the compromise. The debate reflects the divide between Mr. Trump and the defense secretary, who, like no other member of the cabinet, has managed to maintain a cordial relationship with the president, even while reining him in. Yeah. When you keep crowing about somebody being mad dog, right, not going to go well when you correct that dude in public. Until this month, Mr. Mattis had a buffer at the White House in the former National Security Advisor, H.R. McMaster, who often deferred to the Defense Secretary. The arrival of Mr. Trump's new National Security Advisor, John Bolton, means that buffer is gone. Mr. Mattis is widely viewed by global leaders as the strongest and perhaps most credible voice on foreign policy in an administration that has been rocked by firings and resignations among senior presidential advisors. On Tuesday, Mr. Mattis and General Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, briefed lawmakers on Capitol Hill about the Syria airstrikes in closed-door meetings. Quote, "We got to put a check on this president, on any president, when it comes to Congress's constitutional ability to wage war," Representative Barbara Lee, a Democrat from California, said in an interview on Thursday. She called last week's Syria strikes illegal. I think that's a regular line from her. Mr. Mattis prevailed in limiting the strikes to three targets that did not risk endangering Russian troops scattered at military installations around Syria, nor did the 105 missiles hit Syrian military units believed to be responsible for carrying out the April 7th suspected chemical attack in Douma near Damascus. In the end, the narrowly targeted strikes belied Mr. Trump's description Friday night of a larger coordinated response that could take days or weeks. So that's the dance. On Tuesday, Colonel Patrick Ryder of the Air Force, the spokesman for General Dunford, declined to discuss the internal debate between the Pentagon and the White House over the strike's reach before they were launched. Hey, and let me tell you, should you be surprised at this disconnect? To me, this is the discourse that you want and expect from the Department of Defense, yes? I think so. Yeah, this is what you want. You want those experts to rein in the politician and his Twitter account. The article goes on. Mr. Mattis is particularly concerned about overextending the American military in Syria. He does not want the United States to veer from its stated policy of focusing only on the fight in Syria against the Islamic State and avoid delving into the country's 7-year-old civil war. Quote, "The strike was really just enough to cover the president politically, but not enough to spark a war with the Russians," said John Soltz, who's the chairman of the liberal veterans group, Vote Vets. Quote, "It was clear that the military had tight constraints on the operation and that everybody in the military seemed to know that except the president." This is Secretary of Defense's quote. "The French, the United Kingdom from yesterday, the United States, allies, all NATO allies, we work together to maintain the prohibition on the use of chemical weapons. We did what we believed was right under international law, under our nation's laws. And I hope this time the Assad regime got the message. Actually, what he hopes is that the Russians get the message. Assad doesn't do anything without their approval. So, number four, Coast Guard won't ban transgender members without direct policy barring them. Coast Guard now trying to imitate California. Yeah, they're their own. They've decided they'll go their own way, too. The chairman of the House Armed Service Committee has targeted most Pentagon support agencies for a 25% cut, proposing seven be shuttered entirely. How about that? Yeah, the number of people that work and support the Pentagon is mind-blowing. Texas Republican Representative Max Thornberry announced a proposal yesterday aimed at eliminating bureaucratic waste to reap more than $25 billion to reinvest in warfighting. The move comes after he and other pro-defense lawmakers won a two-year budget deal that boosts defense to $700 billion in fiscal 2018 and $716 billion in fiscal 2019. The proposal netted swift condemnation as, quote, foolish and short-sighted from the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents 700,000 workers in the federal government. Thornberry proposed eliminating these agencies whose functions are more efficiently replicated elsewhere in the DOD. The Defense Information Systems Agency. The Defense Technical Information Center. The Office of Economic Adjustments, which aids communities hurt by defense program changes, including base closures. Defense Technology Security Administration. Yeah, they're pretty much not doing their job. Test Resource Management Center coordinates among DOD test and evaluation facilities. Defense Human Resource Activity guides and implements human resource initiatives, budgets, policies, and programs. That thing needs to go yesterday. The Washington Headquarters Service, which provides operational and administrative services to the DOD, hiring a senior executive service employee through the agency, Thornberry argued, is considered a success if it takes less than 9 months. Good God. All right, so that's the top five in the early bird. And let me do one quick look. All right. That'll do it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, again, interesting stuff, Syria. And I think most interesting is the United States' role as leader of the free world. Nobody else is going to do it. It's in nobody's interest to opt out of that, specifically not our own. So where does that leave us in Syria as the leader of the free world? And I think the president has a message to take to our allies, and he's taken it to them, and most of them have responded. The Japanese have. Okay, the Germans have not. Peace through strength. It's the lesson of history, peace through strength. So, all right, so we'll take a break. We come back. You'll hear Olympic gold medalist Jocelyn Lammerer from the U.S. women's hockey team. Jocelyn, I think, was the leading scorer in the tournament for the United States. And she scored the game-winning goal in an overtime shootout. So you'll hear from her, and then you'll hear from her father. He has two daughters that are Olympic gold medalists. How do you raise them? How do you raise them like that? What do you feed them? How early do you get them up to train? You'll hear Pierre talk about having daughters that compete at that level. So, interesting morning on All Marine Radio. A bit of a mental health break. You'll enjoy it. They're great people. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Wednesday next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.